Revelation is one of those books that maybe intimidate us. Sometimes we read Revelation, we don't understand some of the symbolism in it. We don't memorize a whole lot of verses from Revelation in Sunday school. It's just a place that we don't come to a whole lot because a lot of the verses we don't use a whole lot. They're prophetic, they're in the future. Some of them we really don't understand. We memorize John 3:16, we memorize Romans 10:9, maybe you memorize some other verses, but we stay out of Revelation. But there was a pastor, and he was visiting some homes in his community. He was new to the community and to the town, and so he was trying to visit everybody and get to know some people. And he had one of these verses in Revelation memorized, and he went to the door of a house that he knew that somebody was at. So he knocked on the door, and the person never did come to the door. So he got his card out, and he wrote on his card, Revelation, I want to write down the right verse, Revelation 3:20. And he wrote Revelation 3:20, he stuck it there in the crack of the door, and he left. Well, the next Sunday, the offering plate was passed, and somebody brought him his card back after it had come through the offering plate. And there on his card was written a cryptic message where he had written Revelation 3:20. Somebody else had come along and wrote Genesis 3:10. And he wasn't sure, and so when he got back to his office, he started to read, and he laughed when he read. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And Genesis 3:10 says, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, for I was naked." I didn't have anywhere else that I could use that one. So, in a roundabout way, it does mention Revelation. So, it's a good introduction to our book. To begin our study here in Revelation, there are some disclaimers. There are some things I just want to tell you before we dive into the actual passages. For every prophecy that we are going to see in the book of Revelation and Daniel and Isaiah, all the prophecies that we find in the Bible, there are 20 different people who will tell you it means 20 different things. There's somebody who will tell you that it means something different than what I'm going to tell you. It may be that we disagree on some of the stuff. When we close this study, it may be that we have opinions going into the book of Revelation that are changed as we encounter the Word of God. This is the important thing. More important than can we completely and correctly exegete the book of Revelation or explain all of the book of Revelation, this is important. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you've got a relationship with Christ, then whether you're right about when the tribulation is going to happen, whether the rapture is going to happen, when it's going to happen, all that stuff is a small point because your eternity is secured. That's what's important. The mission of the church is important, regardless of whether we disagree or agree on everything. So take care of what you know. You can know today that you can die and go to heaven, and all this other stuff is just kind of a bonus. It's fun to look at. So take care of what you can know before we start worrying about what we can't know and what we maybe can't completely understand. I think that's the most important thing as we go on into the book, and we're going to see that in chapter 1. Here's some the next of my disclaimers. There are some things probably that we're going to disagree on. When it comes to timelines, because the way that you look at the book of Revelation, there's probably, I meet with some pastors once a month for breakfast, and all of us have a different opinion of when the rapture is going to happen and the millennial reign of Christ. We're probably going to disagree. If you read it and you think that it means one thing, and I read it means something different, then here's what we're going to agree tonight to do. We're going to agree to disagree. We're going to work together towards growing God's kingdom. And if in the middle of the tribulation I'm still here and you get to say, "Josh, I told you so," because the rapture hadn't happened until the 3.5 year mark, then you have my permission to say, "I told you so." And I will take that same liberty. And if Jesus comes back before the tribulation and we're all in heaven, then I'm going to look at you and I'm going to find you somewhere in heaven and say, "I told you so." All right? So, we'll just agree to disagree, and when we can know the truth, then you just know that you may get an "I told you so," or you may be able to give one. The third thing, I don't know everything about prophecy. I'm not an expert on prophecy. There are people who are much, much smarter than me. I don't know everything. As we're going through this study, you can ask me questions. Not maybe during the time, but if you have a question, you can text me a question. Some of our teenagers do that a lot. So you can text me a question or email me a question or just ask me in the hallway, and you might get an "I don't know." but I'll go try to find the answer. And as we're going through this study, I can also tell you that it may be that we go through and some of the opinions that we have, including myself, are going to change as we study and God reveals himself to us through his word. And we learn a little bit as we endeavor to study the book of Revelation. The goal of this study is this. It's to help us to understand this book of Revelation. It's an important book of the Bible. It's to help us understand it so that we can be better equipped to discuss the end times with our friends and neighbors, because people are going to be asking about it. This year, 2012, is an important year. The Mayan calendar is going to end. So people are going to be talking about it, especially as we get closer to December and this kind of gloom and doom, the end of the world talk starts happening. So if we start now, then we can look and understand a little bit. And when people are worried, when people start talking, you've got some Bible verses you can go to. And it may be that through the book of Revelation, they can come to know Jesus Christ in this end of the Mayan calendar or whatever it is that happens that scares everybody to death. It may be in November that everybody gets scared to death around election time. And we'll find some comfort in the book of Revelation. Tonight, that's all of the legal stuff. So tonight we're going to look at this first few verses. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And I'm going to encourage you to turn in your Bibles, because we're going to stay here in these passages. So I haven't decided yet how I'm going to deal with outlines and stuff like that. On Wednesday nights, I gave y'all a big, complete outline of everything that I was saying. I can give you my notes if you want them, but I haven't made them so that I can publish them. You know, that I just didn't go ahead and do all that because I didn't know who all were going to be here. I can tell you that if you miss a night, that it'll be on the website. We're recording Sunday night, so it'll be different from Wednesday nights in that respect. So as we're studying through here, it'll be on the website. And if you just want my notes, then I'm more than happy to email them to you. And it'll probably be once we get farther into the study that I'll go ahead and just make them available on the website anyway. So let's look, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants thing which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh in the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and was and which is to come, the Almighty." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this night. Lord, we thank you for giving us an opportunity to come into your house, to look into this book. And Lord, as we do dive into the book of Revelation beginning tonight, God, I just ask you to open our hearts, open our minds, give us clarity, God. Let your spirit come down and help us to understand these things that we're reading, God. Help us to understand the things that are written in this book. And Lord, let us find comfort as we look in this book, Lord, so that we can comfort other people who may be worried about the end of this world and the end of time as we know it. So Father, just ask you to bless us tonight. Let us learn something from your word. Lord, speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all don't know this, but when I pray after I say the verse, that's when I calm down. Have y'all noticed that I talk faster before my prayer and before the verse? That's because I'm excited then. And so it's always a breath of relief that we made it through the first part and nobody's left. And so I can always slow down after that prayer. So we're going to look in this passage, and we're not going to go verse by verse, but there are three lessons, I think three keys in this introduction here that we're going to take with us as we continue through the book. As we go and we get past chapter 3 and chapter 4, once we get into past these churches, then it's going to get to the stuff that you're more interested in. So after we make it past the churches, it gets a little bit more exciting, and we start to see some of the pictures. But we've just got to get through the administrative stuff here in the beginning, the the greetings and the salutation. But in this, we're going to learn some things that are important, some keys as we go through the book of Revelation that we need to take with us, because here is these passages are the passages that help us to understand the entire book. The first thing that we notice about the book of Revelation chapter 1 is the author. The author of Revelation is John the Apostle. This is John who was with Jesus. He wrote several books. John wrote, and it's easy to remember the books that John wrote, because he wrote John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. So all of his books except for Revelation were named after him. This is John who called himself the disciple that Jesus loved in the Gospel of John. But John wrote this somewhere around AD 95. So 95 years into this new, whatever it is, 95 years, AD 95 was when he wrote this. It was during the reign of the Roman emperor Titus Flavius Domitian, and this emperor had commanded that everybody worship him as God. And when John refused, he was sent to an island called Patmos, a prison island. And here on this island of Patmos, John tells us here in this first chapter that as he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, that God spoke to him in the beginning of this revelation, and God came to John and gave him this book that he was going to write. This is a letter that he would write to these seven churches, and then to people who the churches who are yet to come. And as we look at these seven churches in the next couple of weeks, you'll see that there's possible that these seven churches is they were literal churches, but it might also be that these churches are a picture of the church age up to the time when Jesus comes back, up until the rapture. We'll talk more about that once we get closer to it. It's interesting to look in the book of John, because in the Gospel of John, we see Jesus as a prophet. We see him as God come down, living among men, telling people, pointing people to God. In the epistles, in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, we see Jesus as a priest who is mediating between man and God, our great high priest, Jesus Christ. And in the book of Revelation, we see Jesus as the king. Over and over again, you're going to see as we talk about the next thing we're going to look at is the subject of Revelation. And we see that Jesus Christ is the king. He's the subject of Revelation. The subject here, and for some reason, we're afraid of Revelation. We're afraid to read it. We maybe enjoy reading it, but it's kind of an intimidating book for people because we don't understand it. We can't look back in history and know when this stuff happened because it's future history. It's history that's going to happen, but it hadn't happened yet. So the book of Revelation is very comforting to us. It ought to be a comfort. And as we study through it, I think that's what you're going to see, that this is a comforting book because we see that the Jesus who we trust is the Almighty. He is the conquering King. That's where we see as Jesus pictured all through the book, beginning here in chapter 1. The book, the word translated as Revelation means unveiling. It's kind of a pulling back of the curtain. That's what this revelation means. And so here in the very first verse, the first words tell us what we're seeing, the subject of the book, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The pulling back of the curtain of Jesus Christ. We're going to really see now who Jesus Christ is in the book of Revelation. We've seen him as a kind of veiled in human form. We've seen him as he suffered and he bled and he died and he was humble. But we're going to see Jesus as the glorified Christ, the one who's been given all the glory, the one who deserves all the honor and praise. And as you read the descriptions of Jesus, and we'll do that in just a minute, you see that this is a mighty king. This is not a humble little carpenter's son anymore. This is not the Jesus who rode in on a donkey. This is the Jesus who's riding on a white horse with glory and honor and whose power and who's going to destroy the forces of Satan with just a word. That's the Jesus that we serve. And that's what Jesus is showing John here in the very beginning of the book of Revelation, that Jesus is powerful. He's powerful and he's worthy of our praise. The book of Revelation focuses on future events. And that's what makes it a little bit different from all the other books in the New Testament. If we look at the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they tend to deal with Jesus Christ here on earth. Jesus living, dying, everything that he did. And then if you continue to the book of Acts, it gives you kind of a history of the church from Jerusalem until the end of around the first century. And then the epistles tell us how we as churches ought to act and how we can interpret God's grace and how we can understand and how we can relate to God in this church age. So as we look through here, what you find is we've dealt a lot with the past in the Gospels and Acts. We've dealt with the present in the epistles, and we're dealing with the future in Revelation. So the Revelation is pointing us towards the future. The book tells us the subject, and sometimes we think that the subject of Revelation is the Antichrist, even though it's going to talk about him, he's not the subject. The subject of Revelation is not the end of time, it's not the tribulation, it's not Satan, but the subject is Jesus Christ. He's the subject of the entire Bible, by the way. From the very beginnings in Genesis, remember we've been reading through the Bible and we're reading through Genesis, all that crazy stuff that's happening in Genesis is pointing forward to Jesus Christ. You read through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, we find Jesus everywhere. The entire Old Testament pointing to Jesus Christ. The Gospels saying Jesus is here. The epistles, the letters to the churches saying that Jesus is coming back. It's all pointing to Jesus Christ. It's all pointing to him. So it's important for us to realize that this is about Jesus Christ. Everything pointed, not to just the sacrificial lamb, but a powerful and victorious Jesus. Let's look in verses 12 through 17. And we'll talk about these verses a little bit more in detail next week. But we're going to see a vision. This is the Jesus that John saw. And John had perhaps seen this Jesus at the transfiguration, but he's going to see him again here in these passages. In verse 12, it says, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with the paps with a golden girdle. His head and hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet were like unto fine brass, and they burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last." This is a powerful Jesus. When people saw Jesus, when he walked here on the earth, they didn't see this Jesus. They didn't fall down in front of him. They were too busy pushing him away, saying, you can't be the Messiah that we're looking for. You don't look like what we expected you to look like, so it must not be you. They didn't look and see and see that this Jesus was the real thing, was the real deal. But now in Revelation, as the curtains begin to be pulled back and we see God's plan, that God's plan all along was for his perfect son to come and to live on this earth as a humble person and live a perfect life and lay himself down on the cross and give his life as a sacrifice for us and then raise again. See, they didn't know God's plan for the Messiah. The Messiah that they were looking for was Jesus Christ. They were just looking for him in the wrong place in history. This is the Messiah that they were looking for, the one who is here with this glory and splendor and the power. This is where we see the wonder and marvel of God in Jesus Christ. Dr. Criswell, a famous preacher, he said this. He said, "Then all men shall look upon him as he really is. They shall see him holding his hands, the title deed to the universe, holding in his hands all the authority of creation in the universe above us, in the universe around us, and in the universe beneath us, holding this world and its destiny in his pierced and loving hands." This is the Jesus we find in the book of Revelation, a powerful God who now holds the keys to death and hell, who holds all the power and glory in the world. This is Jesus. This is the subject of our book. This is the subject of Revelation as we read. It's not all this other stuff. Don't get distracted with the other stuff. Jesus is what it's about. If you've trusted Jesus, a lot of this other stuff you're going to miss, probably, unless I'm wrong. And then we may be here for half of it, or we may be here for 7 years. Who knows? But if you know Jesus Christ, you're going to be able to make it through it. Amen? This is the Jesus. So the first key as we study the book of Revelation is remember the subject is our victorious King, Jesus Christ. That's the first thing to remember. As you're reading through here and you get to something that doesn't make sense, the subject is Jesus Christ, victorious Jesus Christ. Not humble, downtrodden Jesus Christ, victorious King, Jesus Christ. This Jesus as described in verse 12 through 17. Now, as we continue, we see in this first little introduction section the purpose of this book. It's not just about Jesus Christ, but we're going to see that there's a purpose. And there's a few verses that tell us what the purpose is. He begins by telling us that the purpose of this book is to show unto his servants thing which must shortly come to pass. To show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. That's the purpose, one of the purposes of this book. Now you notice who God's talking to. Because a lot of people read Revelation and say, I just don't understand it. A lot of Christians read Revelation and we don't understand it. But Revelation was written to God's servants. People who are following after God. People who've trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's who this book is for. A lost person is not going to have the Holy Spirit guiding them and informing them and enlightening them as they read this book. So they're not going to understand the book. They're not going to understand some of the stuff. And we may not understand everything, but we're going to understand more than a lost person because it was written to us. It was written to the servants, and the better word is slaves. We're people who've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people who read this book and they can't understand it because it's not written to them. It was given by the Father to the Son to show people who serve him what's going to happen in a rough way and who Jesus Christ is. The natural man, Paul says that the natural man cannot accept the things of the spiritual God because they're foolishness, and he can't understand them because they're spiritually appraised. The natural man, their sinner, somebody who's lost, they're not going to understand this stuff. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, stop trying to understand Revelation. Don't worry about Revelation. We need to go back and cover some other stuff because Jesus Christ loves you and he wants to save you, and the Revelation is not important if you're going to die and go to hell. What's important is that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then you'll get the Holy Spirit and you'll be able to understand this stuff. And you'll be able to see this glorious King, Jesus Christ, that we're worshiping. You'll be able to see that he is amazing. You'll be able to understand a lot more. Now, the next reason, the next purpose for this book, the next reason why we should study it is in chapter 3, or in verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So the first part of this passage tells us that there's three conditions here to a blessing. There's a blessing, and there's not a whole lot of blessings attached to books. If you read through there, it doesn't say, blessed are you for reading, you know, this book or that book. But the book of Revelation says, blessed is he that readeth, happy or blessed. This is it. You're happy or blessed if you read this and hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are spoken or written therein. So it's got three conditions. If you want to be blessed, that's which is a good reason to study the book of Revelation. Everybody wants to be blessed, right? I want to be blessed. Yeah, you can go watch Joel Osteen. He'll tell you how to be blessed and all kind of stuff. Or some of these other preachers. I shouldn't talk about it. Some of y'all probably like Joel Osteen and bless his heart. But there are preachers who tell you that you can be blessed by doing this or doing that or doing whatever. The Bible gives you a blessing here. Blessed is he that readeth and understandeth and applieth these things. Here's the three conditions. Read the book of Revelation. Read it. Read it. We're reading the Bible this year, and I encourage you, if you haven't been reading, pick up and start reading through the Bible with us because it's a blessing. It's a blessing to read through, and you say, well, we finished Genesis, or we're fixing to finish Job. It's a blessing to read God's Word and have it speak to you and learn things. So pick it up and read it. Read the book of Revelation. Read God's Word. It also says to hear it. You got to hear it and understand it. Reading the Bible is more than just making your checkoff list and saying, well, I made it through this passage. Try to understand it. Dig deeper into God's Word. And to follow the little cross references. If you've got cross references in your Bible, look up words that you don't understand. Try to understand on your own what God is telling you. There's an amazing, amazing thing that happens when you start digging into God's Word and really trying to understand it for yourself. God begins to speak to you. And as you read these difficult passages, you begin to understand them more because you've been learning. And you learn a lot more when you're doing it than when I'm giving it to you. Read it. Try to understand it. And the third condition is that we apply it. Keep it. Obey it. It doesn't matter if you know this stuff. You can know all the laws. You can know all the rules. But if you don't apply them to your life, it won't do you any good. You can read the Bible, but until you've applied it to your life, it's not going to help you. You can know all the stuff. You can know how to handle your money biblically. You can know how to have a good marriage biblically. But if you're not doing it, it won't do you a bit of good. You're wasting your time. We need to apply it to our lives. So this is where we get the second key. The second key is right here. As you study the book of Revelation, remember that God's word is a valuable source of encouragement, blessings, and wisdom for our lives today. This is a valuable resource that we've been given. It's not just a book to throw around. It's not just a book that you put on your dash to keep you from having a wreck on the interstate, because it doesn't work like that. It's not a good luck charm. It's not something that you just get out when the preacher's coming. This is a valuable tool. Use it. Apply it. The book of Revelation, John, Genesis, read somewhere, because it's all powerful. The Bible tells us that in Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." It's every bit of it is useful. Even the boring stuff in Leviticus, the stuff where you're reading the genealogies, God put it in here for a reason. We need to use it. Wear it out. Use your Bible. The third reason that we ought to study the book of Revelation, I'm used to having a PowerPoint for every one of my points here. The third reason is that the time is at hand. It says in that last part of verse 3, the time is at hand. Verse 7, it repeats it. It says, "Behold, he comes with the clouds, and every knee shall see him, and all, they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back. Harold Camping said he was coming back last year, and he was wrong. He's a false prophet. We don't know when he's coming back. If somebody tells you he's coming back tomorrow or next week or on some day, they don't know. We can't know when Jesus is coming back. But we can know that he's coming back because he told us he was coming back. Now, time, when it says time, when it talks about the time being at hand, there's two different words for time. Chronos, which is a word that has more to do with a linear time. But the word that's used for time here is not chronos, it's kairos, and so it has to do with seasons. So it's not really a literal time, but a season. This church age is going to end, and Jesus is coming back. The season is coming. It's not like the clock has started, but it's not that, you know, this hour, we got to get to this hour. There's a season coming. This season will end, and the next season will come. Just like we have in Alabama this year, I think we've had two seasons, but we have our seasons. You can count on eventually it's going to get summertime, and who knows what summertime's going to be like if wintertime is shorts. But we don't know, but we can look forward to the fact that the season is coming. You don't know exactly what day it's going to get warm or hot or cold, but you know it's coming. We don't know exactly when Jesus is coming back, but he's coming. He may come back at the beginning of the tribulation period. He may come back in the middle. Who knows? But he's coming back. And the next great era of God's redemptive history is close. Romans chapter 13, one of my favorite passages in all the Bible, Paul says that we need to stop acting like it's nighttime. We need to get up and work because the night's almost over and the day's almost here. And we don't know when Jesus is coming back, but we know that right now we're closer than we were 5 minutes ago. We're closer now. We're closer today than we were yesterday. So the final thing we're going to look at here in this first introduction is we're going to kind of get a preview of what the book is going to be about. A preview of a little bit more in detail than what we just talked about. The book of Revelation is the ultimate action thriller. There have been movies written that haven't done justice. Have y'all ever watched one of those movies about the revelation of the end time? Yeah. Some of you have, and some of you don't want to raise your hand. Maybe you don't want to participate tonight. You're too busy watching the football game. But Revelation is an exciting book. There's all kind of stuff happening. I mean, there's mystery and suspense and passion and horror. It talks about apostasy in the church. It talks about a world turning away from God. There's economic collapse. There's wars. There's people dying. I mean, this is the ultimate action adventure book in the Bible. Where Genesis and Judges, remember we learned that Genesis was a book of drama and Dynasty or watching your programs. Here we move to a more manly genre, and we're into action and adventure and people dying and just exciting stuff happening in the book of Revelation. There's going to be natural disasters in the book of Revelation that the world has never seen, that the world cannot even imagine. There's going to be tragedies. There's going to be amazingly brutal things happening in this time. This is as bad as the flood, and worse than the flood, because people are going to suffer. At least in the flood, they died fairly quickly. And finally, as we get to the end, as the world gets to this breaking point, when the entire world seems like it's going to fall apart, when the Antichrist has the nation of Israel kind of bottled up in this small little place, and he's finally going to get to squish, Satan's going to finally get to squish this thorn in his side, God's chosen people who he loves, then and the world is in chaos. People have marks and people have been killed, and they finally made it through these 7 years, and all of a sudden, we're going to find in the end, Jesus Christ coming back in the clouds, stepping on that white horse with the saints behind him, and he's going to come, and he's going to rescue his people. That's exciting. This is exciting stuff. I'm getting excited. Y'all aren't even excited. This is exciting. We just need to skip to the end. This is a book about Jesus Christ coming back the second time. They told him when he went up in Acts, the disciples, they watched him go, and they watched him, and he said, I'm coming back. And those angels came, and they said, why are you standing here looking up here? He told you he was coming back. He told you to get to work. Why are you standing here? This is the time that they were looking for. We get to read about it. We get to see it. John didn't have this hope when he was looking up there in the sky. He didn't know. This is an exciting book, a gift that God kind of pulls back the curtain, and we get to see maybe a fuzzy picture of what the end is going to look like. That's why God gave us this book. The theme of Revelation and Revelation, by the way, are going to kill me, I think. But the theme of Revelation is about Jesus Christ coming back. Verses 7 and 8, if you look at verse 7 and 8, it says, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. It says he's going to come in the clouds. People are going to see him. The entire world is going to see Jesus Christ when he comes back the second time. When the rapture comes, wherever you believe it is, he's not coming all the way back. We're going to meet him in the air. So he's not coming back that time. At the end of the book, we find Jesus Christ coming back. He steps on that mountain and the earth splits as he defeats Satan and all of his armies. Hey, every eye is going to see him. It tells us that every eye is going to see and every knee is going to bow. Everybody's going to see that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that he is God, that he is everything that he promised, that everything that he said he was. I love verse 8. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. That's how we know that he can say this. That's how we can be certain as we read the book of Revelation who Jesus Christ is. Because he says, I'm the Alpha, which is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and I'm the Omega, which is the last. He's saying, I'm the first, and I'm the last, and everything in between. He's not waiting on time. He's above time. He sees the beginning, he sees the ending, he is the beginning and ending. So he can say these things with certainty. So the third key as we look in the book of Revelation is remember the imminence of Jesus' coming and the value of our time here today. Our time today is valuable. We have a mission. We may not finish our Revelation Bible study. We got big plans for the church. We're growing fast. We had deacons meeting tonight and talked about all the plans, and we can daydream about stuff that we're going to do, and it may never come because Jesus could come back. So as we look forward to this time when Jesus is coming back, and we look at these three keys as we read through this Bible, I think this is the most important thing. Use your time wisely. We've got to use our time wisely. Maybe we'll live and die and Jesus doesn't come back for 120 years. I don't know. But whether we live and die, or whether the end comes and Jesus comes on back, our time here is limited. And there are people who desperately need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are people who are searching for something, and the one they're searching for is this Jesus, the powerful one, who can intervene in people's lives, who can transform lives, who already holds the keys to death and hell, who can deliver them from the sin that's holding them in bondage. We have an important mission. And more than arguing about our eschatological beliefs, that's a big word, but more than arguing about those things, our goal, our mission as a church. Until Jesus comes back, until we see him in the clouds, until whatever it is happens, we ought to be going, because that's the last thing he told us to do. Go and make disciples. Go witness to your neighbor. Go witness to the people at your church, at your school, maybe at your church too. Well, there are people in church you need witnessing to too. Go do it, because the time's at hand. It's running out. And I think that's the key to this first section.